There's a reason why we invite our students to make a profession of their faith on Pentecost. Because this is the turning point for the followers of Jesus. This is the day when they shook off their fear and their confusion that had been surrounding the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. It was on this day that they finally step up and step out in faith. So Sam and Annalise and Caleb and Evelyn and Aaron, that is what you have all done here today. And you invite us to follow you. And I want to reflect with you and with all of us about these texts and what they have to say to us as we step up and step out. I mentioned the disciples' confusion and fear. Last week, as we read that story of the ascension, Gordon reflected with us, and he joked about the disciples being once again in their favorite starring role, right, as the clueless disciples who don't get it. Gordon took that text and reflected about their fear and needs for security and our own. And he said, toward the conclusion of that sermon, that our security as Christians is simply and profoundly this: the Spirit of the risen Christ is with us. That's it. That's all. And if we read these stories rightly, we know that it is enough. And today, on Pentecost, this is when the Spirit of the risen Christ was given to God's people. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. I want you to imagine with me what it might have been like to be present that day. And as you're engaging your imaginations, I want you to think in terms of metaphor as well. Can you do both things? Okay. So imagine this place filled up with people from all over the known world. And they were coming together to worship, because Pentecost is actually a Jewish observation. It's a day in which they celebrate the gift of the law. People came from all over to celebrate that gift on Pentecost. And because they have many different languages and they wanted everyone to participate, they used the common language, right? So some people are translating as they worship together on this first Pentecost day. And then all of a sudden, something really, really strange and unsettling happens, right? They feel this rush of wind. And then they see this vision of flames above people's heads. And then they begin to hear, all of a sudden, people speaking in languages that are not languages they've ever learned before. So while they had been working really hard translating to participate in worship, all of a sudden, they hear people talking about the stories of God in the language of their heart. Think about all the connections we could make to that experience. All of the ways that God might be inviting us to find ways to bring good news to people in languages of their own heart. I don't just mean now native speech, but I mean in ways and in places that speak to people where they live. But I actually want to direct our attention a little further in the story, to the very next part. Because I think there's a key here for us in understanding more about what is expected of us if we want to step up and out in faith. And it comes to us as a question. When you encounter something that feels strange and unsettling, do you move first toward curiosity and wonderment, a la verse 12? Or do you move into the kind of sneer and accusation of verse 13? Verse 12 says, all were amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? When you bump up against something that feels completely foreign to your way of thinking, or pushes against some of the assumptions you've held about life? Do you have the capacity to get curious, to begin to investigate a little bit, and maybe even to investigate with full expectation that maybe the Spirit of the risen Christ is in the middle of this thing you don't understand? Or, verse 13, but others sneered and said, they're filled with new wine. Is your first instinct to bring that kind of cynical spirit that accuses and just writes people off when you don't agree or don't understand? That's the choice that's before us. And folks, I don't want you to underestimate just how countercultural this choice is. Social media, the culture at large, even the culture within, I won't just say the church, I'll say Hope Church, can sometimes bring with it the attitude that cynicism and accusation is the more sophisticated choice. Right? You'll be applauded if you're the first one to call somebody out, put somebody in your place. Right? That's the spirit of our times. But if I am serious about believing that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, then I had better be very careful about believing I have some corner on the truth. And I had better get curious about the things happening around me, because the Holy Spirit may very well be in the center of it. Peter actually immediately embodies what it is I think we're being called to, what it looks like to step up in faith when he moves into the role of interpreter in verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. These are not drunk as you suppose. No, this is what was spoken of in the prophet Joel. On Monday night, we had a meeting of ministry chairs and consistory, and the elder who was leading our devotions read some excerpts from his favorite novel, and he asked us to be on the lookout to make connections between the thoughts that go through our mind, the experiences of our daily life, and some of the important deep meaning that God is trying to show us, to be the folks who make those connections. There's a call to us, I think, on this Pentecost day to stand up and raise our voice in the way that Peter did, to help people in making those connections, even between, maybe even especially between, the things and experiences that are strange and unsettling, and what it is that the Holy Spirit is up to in the world. Now, I don't mean to suggest to our students that in order to do this, they need to all become a pastor or a preacher, as if somehow certain professions do a better job in this role of interpreter. No. We need poets and artists and scientists. We need pastors and parents and teachers and police officers, all of us together standing up, raising our voice to help people make connections between the experiences of their life and the work of the Holy Spirit that is pulling all of us toward the ways of God. Be an interpreter. The Gospel of John, though, today, and the book of Romans kind of come at another angle on this Pentecost invitation to step up and out. Jesus makes this promise, right, to send an advocate to be with us forever. And then Paul goes on to talk about the way in which life led by the Spirit gives us courage, right? When he writes, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption, so that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your own spirit that you are a child of God. Pretty heady stuff. And I can tell you by reading the statements of faith, which are in your bulletins today by our students, they know that this incredible promise and gift of the Holy Spirit does not mean that they will somehow magically avoid suffering in life. There is no bubble of protection around us. Jesus did not escape suffering, and so neither will we. But the invitation that Paul makes at the end of the passage is to let that inevitable suffering turn us toward the glory of God. Right? He writes, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. When I gathered on Tuesday with my clergy group in Grand Rapids, they knew that I was coming back to a funeral that afternoon. And so the Dominican nun who convenes us read a particular prayer with that in mind that she took from a Jewish prayer book called The Gates of Prayer. It talks about the way that the Psalms give us permission to express freely and experience fully the suffering in life. Stepping up in faith does not mean pretending that losses and disappointments and failures don't matter. They do. They hurt. We feel them. But what stepping up in faith asks of us is yet another question. What will you do with that suffering? Will you let it consume you and make you bitter? Or will you let that suffering point you toward the glory of God? So the reading Carm shared with us that day included this one line from The Gates of Prayer. And in truth, grief is a great teacher when it sends us back to serve and bless the living. I was thinking about that all week. That's exactly what Jesus did with his resurrected life before he ascended. To come back to serve and bless the living. And on Pentecost, we are given that very same commissioning. It is the invitation of this table to come forward as people who will be interpreters of God's power and who will let the suffering of the world become our teacher so that we can go back out into life to serve and to bless. As we come to the table, it is an invitation for us all to reaffirm or profess our faith with these students today, to say, yes, truly, with all my heart, I give myself to you. So let us do that as we come to the table. Amen.